and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day 2, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
My friends swim no matter the season, but my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis can sometimes take me out of the moment. Now, thanks to Skyrizi and clear skin, count me in. With Skyrizi, Risankizumab Riza, a prescription-only 150-milligram injection for adults who are candidates for systemic or phototherapy. 3 out of 4 people achieve 90% clear skin at 4 months.
Don't use if allergic to Skyrizi. Serious allergic reactions and an increased risk of infections or a lower ability to fight them may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check for infection and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms, such as fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, or if you plan to or recently received a vaccine.
Thanks to Skyrizi, there's nothing on my skin, and that means everything. Ask your doctor today about Skyrizi, the number one dermatologist-prescribed biologic in psoriasis, and visit Skyrizi.com or call 1-866-SKYRIZI to learn more.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. Following today's shooting at Florida State University in Tallahassee, multiple law enforcement tell ABC News at least one person is dead and 6 others injured. Students and faculty told to shelter in place when gunfire began ringing out just after noon. Police responded to an active shooter call near the student union. Danielle Estridi was able to evacuate, she says, when it all went down, and told ABC News, described what she witnessed.
I did see at least one. The law enforcement had took that person out on a stretcher and laid them in the street until EMS showed up. There was one person across the way that seemed to get escorted in an office chair with wheels.
Over 40,000 students attend FSU's Tallahassee campus. President Trump at the White House says he's been briefed and called the shooting a horrible incident. Attorney General Pam Bondi says the FBI also on scene, and she offered prayers. This is ABC News. A hearing today for students, part of a lawsuit asking a judge to block the Trump administration's efforts to revoke student visas.
Judge Victoria Calvert says she's inclined to rule in favor of the temporary order for the 133 students in this case, 26 of whom are here in Georgia. But she's giving both sides time to provide more information. Immigration attorney Charles Cook says,
when the government doesn't follow the rules, it requires people to stand up. That's what these students are doing.
Lawyers for the government say no real harm has been done to these students and they could follow reinstatement procedures. The judge has set a hearing for next Thursday to rule on a permanent injunction on the cancellations. Jonathan O'Brien, ABC News, Atlanta.
New Jersey filing a lawsuit against online platform Discord, alleging the company represented the app as safe for parents but exposed children to sexual and violent content. The lawsuit claims the app's design makes it easy for children to connect with other users, but also allows predators to lurk and target them. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
With Progressive Snapshot, you could save on auto insurance rates by driving safely, which is nice, because you can just keep doing you. So keep on using that broken phone charger because it occasionally works. Keep quoting something you heard on a podcast as your own. Keep ignoring your sister's texts while you drive and after. And when baggage claim says, have a great trip, keep on saying, you too. And keep driving safely, and you could save with Snapshot from Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Snapshot not available in California or from all agents. Surcharge possible for unsafe driving.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayling. A change of venue requested for the teen accused of killing Lily Peters 3 years ago has been denied.
Court officials issued the denial on Wednesday, saying the defense team needs to craft a thoughtful jury questionnaire to weed out any potential bias or prejudice. Another loss for the 17-year-old's legal team, who had argued that the trial can't be conducted fairly in Chippewa Falls due to the high-profile nature of the case. They also unsuccessfully argued to have the case moved to the juvenile system, which the judge said would have diminished the severity of the charges, including sexual assault and homicide. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Democratic lawmakers say a green amendment to the Wisconsin Constitution could ensure future generations have a clean and safe natural environment. Beloit Senator Mark Spreitzer.
This is not a partisan issue. It's a Wisconsin issue. Protecting the lakes we fish in, the air we breathe, the water we drink, and the lands that support our communities and economy benefits us all.
The amendment is unlikely to be taken up in the Republican-controlled state legislature. Constitutional amendments must pass two consecutive sessions before going before voters for approval. Wisconsin congressman weighs in on Trump tariffs.
Second District Democrat Mark Pocan calls the current situation incomprehensible.
I really can't keep up with where we're at on tariffs. All I do know is you can do tariffs the right way. And there is a right way to do tariffs, targeted tariffs.
Pocan says a targeted tariff policy would require a plan.
But just throwing tariffs without a plan, without any kind of strategy whatsoever, is just throwing a tax on to consumers here in the United States.
Pocan says there's at least a possibility some nations will negotiate with the administration during the latest 90-day pause. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Wisconsin soybean farmers are fueling Wisconsin. In 2021, the value of Wisconsin soybeans was $1.61 billion. That fuels our state's economy, communities, and Wisconsin's future. Wisconsin soybean farmers fuel our state, country, and the world while protecting the land and water. Learn how the Wisconsin Soybean Marketing Board and Wisconsin Soybean Association are working hard to fuel our farms and future. Visit Wisconsin Soybean.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly cloudy and breezy today, with high temperatures reaching the low 60s and scattered showers rolling in late this afternoon. As they continue through this evening, chances of thunderstorms are also possible, bringing the risk of hail. We're expected to pick up around a half an inch of rainfall. Bathroom remodels for only $99 a month. Call BCI Bath and Shower, 1-800-329-4115. Currently, it's 58.
Produced by Farm and Ranch Media. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Well, hello and welcome in to another episode of Agriculture of America, AOA. Good to have you with us here today on the show, powered by Sedex. Ensure your machinery operates flawlessly, even under the most challenging conditions, with Sedex Maxtron THF Plus Full Synthetic Tractor Hydraulic Fluid. Visit Sedex.com today for more information. Coming up here on today's program, we're going to talk markets in just a moment with Jim McCormick from AgMarket.net. In segment two, we're going to get a look at the weather forecast here moving forward and get a bit of a deep dive into how things are looking here as we maybe have a bit of an active pattern starting up again. What are we looking at as we move into the heart of spring planting season and beyond? Eric Snodgrass with Nutrient Ag Solutions will join us in just a little bit. After the bottom of the hour, we'll have a conversation with Ethan Lane from the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. And then in segment four, we're going to get an update on the latest equipment sales data for the U.S. and Canada. Kurt Blades with the Association of Equipment Manufacturers will join us coming up later in the show. Let's kick things off and talk markets as we are nearing the end of the trading week. No markets on Friday for Good Friday. So how are things looking on Thursday's trade board? Jim McCormick with AgMarket.net joins us. Jim, it's good to hear from you again, my friend. Hope all is well.
Hey, good morning, Jesse. All is well, and a happy Easter out there to all your listeners.
Well, and a happy Easter to you and yours as well. Jim, these markets on the grain side, they felt a lot quieter this week. And I've said this multiple times here on the show the last couple of days, and it feels like Thursday's action, at least early on, is kind of shaping up the same way with just a kind of mixed trade around unchanged. I mean, what's your perspective on this week's grain and oilseed trade?
Right now, I think it's called an exhausted market, Jesse, at this point in time. Right now, corn's up a penny, beans down a couple. After last week's just very chaotic equities movement, grain market movements, it feels like not just the grain traders, the livestock traders, the equity traders, it just feels like they just want to get to this three-day weekend and kind of take a little bit of a mental break here and waiting to see what happens next. Obviously, the trade tariffs that President Trump put on. Then you had the 90-day pause. You got negotiations going on. And it just there's so much up in the air, and it just feels like everyone's just taking a breather. I think as we come out of the weekend, though, it's going to get a little bit more active. I don't want to steal Eric's thunder, Jesse, but the models I saw this morning, that GFS model says we are going to get a lot of rain coming into the Midwest here in the latter part of April. And that could get this 95 million acre, forecasted acreage planted into corn a little bit of a challenge if these models, come to fruition.
Well, looking at some of the corn and soybean trade action, too, I've noticed a little bit of intermarket spread action this week. Is that something that we need to keep an eye on moving forward? Jim, what do you think?
I think you do need to kind of keep an eye on it, but I think they will kind of diverge a little bit. I mean, I got to admit, Jesse, it's been a very weird couple of weeks in the corn market. I mean, the crude oil market dropped $15. Normally, when we use about a third of our corn is used for energy, and the corn market rallied despite the fact that the crude oil crashed. And then look what the bean market's done. It's been able to rally despite the fact that our biggest bean buyer is in a massive trade war with us. So, they've done some interesting situations right now. But, yeah, you are seeing a little bit of maybe bull spreading here. Wheat right now is also catching a little bit of story. Too much rain for the soft red wheat, maybe not enough rain for the hard red wheat as we go into the three-day weekend.
Thinking about the outside markets here as well and how that's played a role in commodities and livestock trade, Jim, we still continue to see some degree of volatility in stocks and metals and things of that nature. But even there, would you say that's become a bit of an exhausted market as well?
100% agree. I think it's all been an exhausted market. I don't think the volatility is over with right now. A couple things we're watching here at agmarket.net. Watch the U.S. dollar. It's up a shade today, but we're trading near three-year lows. On the good news, Jesse, when the dollar gets cheaper, that is essentially a sign that, makes us a little bit more competitive on the export market, not just for the grains but the beef. But the other side of the equation we need to keep an eye on, this weaker dollar in the weaker bond market has people worried about where the U.S. stands fiscally. And if you get this bond market continue to weaken, you're going to get the yields to go up, which means you're going to pay more and more for borrowing money costs, which is not what you want to see on the producer side of the equation. So the economic uncertainty is still out there, but just like the grain market, maybe a little bit of a pause as the market's just waiting to see where these trade negotiations go. That's maybe the next big hurdle that the market's going to debate.
We're talking with Jim McCormick from agmarket.net here on AOA. Over in that livestock complex, I got to say this cattle trade this week has really fared well. Looking at a fourth day in a row higher into a cattle on feed report that'll be out after the close on Thursday. What's your thoughts in that protein sector starting with cattle?
Nice move. I thought we'd see a little bit of a rebound in it. We left the gap coming out of the market when it collapsed at the beginning of April. We're trying to fill that gap. We got into the gap today, did not fill it yet. So I think this is more of a technical indicator. We'll see what this cattle on feed report says today. I assume it's going to show what we've seen forever, Jesse. Incredibly tight supply of beef and cattle right now. Then it all comes down to the consumer spending. And we'll see how these tariffs start acting. Remember, the tariffs were not 100% paused. We are still paying a 10% tariff on anything coming to the United States, and of course the Chinese tariffs are immensely higher than that. That is going to start trickling into the economy. This is a tax. That is the reality. The consumers are going to pay that tax. And if things get too expensive, and you've got to essentially, your boss doesn't give you a pay raise, that could eventually be a drag, I think, especially on the beef market, being the fact it's the highest meat being consumed.
Well, I'm thinking about that. I mean, whether we're talking beef or we're talking pork and the hog market or, looking back to the grains, et cetera, I mean, some of that concern about tariffs weighing on the overall economy and maybe reigniting the inflation concerns. I mean, I know broadly that's a concern out there for many folks right now, Jim.
It is a concern. Chairman Powell yesterday came out and said, look, we're in a tough situation. The reality is tariffs are expensive. People bring those products in. They got to pay that fee. They pass that fee on to the consumer, and that drives prices up. That's the inflationary aspect of it. Or what happens is you can't, someone chooses not to bring that product in because it's too much and you tighten your supply. You have less supply. That tends to drive prices up. On the other hand, it is slowing down the economy. It's more expensive. The consumer cannot buy as much because he's spending more for a product ABC, and that is a little bit negative. And that's where Jerome Powell yesterday said, look, we're in a tough situation. If the economy slows down, Jesse, traditionally they lower the interest rate as a way to boost the economy. But with inflation still not reaching the Fed's 2% target, and then you got these tariffs, if he tries to lower the interest rate to fight essentially a weaker job scenario, you could reignite inflation that we saw just a few years ago that no one wants to see again. So we're in a very tough predicament right now, to be quite honest.
A lot of things for folks to keep an eye on when it comes to these markets, and I know they can reach out to your team there if they have questions, agmarket.net for more. Jim McCormick, always good to hear from you, my friend, and again, I wish you and yours a happy Easter. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, and thank you as well, Jesse.
Jim McCormick joining us here today on AOA, brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel and Lubricants. Visit Cenex.com for more. Up next, we'll talk weather. Eric Snodgrass from Nutrien here on AOA.
Pulling acres ahead of the competition is simple. Cenex Maxtron synthetic diesel engine oils give you the smartest oil for the toughest conditions. These premium oils are formulated with EnduroVis technology and a balanced additive package to control deposits for a cleaner, more efficient engine that gives you proven durability. Cenex Maxtron diesel engine oils. Oil that runs smart.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk. Farm and Ranch Media is your go-to source for the latest news of agriculture, market information, ag weather, and much more. With the American Ag Network, Agriculture of America, AOA, and Market Talk, we keep you informed on the news and issues that matter for your operation. Agriculture is a busy job, and it requires you to constantly be on the go. That's why we'll keep you farm informed with the American Ag Network, AOA.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today. I love.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And today's AOA is brought to you by Cenex. Using quality premium products like Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster Premium Diesel and Cenex Maxtron Diesel Engine Oils, Help keep equipment running stronger and longer. Visit Cenex.com today for more information. Well, let's talk weather as we're really getting into the heart of spring planting season across much of the Midwest. And sounds like maybe a more active weather pattern is going to fire back up again here as we head through the Easter holiday weekend. Joining us for a conversation, Eric Snodgrass with Nutrien Ag Solutions. Eric, it's good to talk with you again, my friend. How's it going?
Hey, I'm just kind of gearing up for what could be a pretty rough Easter weekend, I think, across the country with severe weather first, and then this risk of major flooding, I think, a little bit farther to the west of where it was before, which was in your neck of the woods, down on the Mid-South. We're not going to push us back to more Missouri, Arkansas, parts of Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. But yeah, I mean, there's just no slowdown. I'd like to go into this Easter weekend and just spend it with family, and instead I'll be watching severe weather and flooding.
We'll talk about this potential active weather pattern kind of setup here. And I know that you and I have had this discussion before. It's felt like so far this year we've kind of been in this off again, on again pattern, kind of week off, week on type of pattern. Is that changing in any way? I mean, set this up for us here over the next week to 10 days.
You know, climatologically, Jesse, this is the time of year this happens, right? We tend to see big storms. And I'll be honest with you, even in really, really dry years, like 2011 and 2012 and 88, we had spring storms. I mean, we get spring storms. And these are pretty big. Yes, but we took a week off last week. Yeah, we had some cool air that came in, but honestly, it was pretty dry. And now we're cranking things back up again as the jet stream is just screaming out of the southwest. We've opened up the Gulf of Mexico to just moisture transport, and things are going to start going. So it's going to be on. And today it's going to be in Iowa. Tomorrow it's going to be from Michigan to Texas. Then after that, it's going to be down in the south with severe weather risk. And then we're going to see just this boundary hang out from like the Red River Valley of the south to like Lake Erie. And that whole area is just going to see repeated chances of rain as we go through the Easter weekend. And I'll be honest, I see parts of Arkansas, maybe parts of Oklahoma, the eastern side, in Missouri, picking up 5, 6, 7 inches of rain, maybe some places more than that. We just came off of record-setting rains in the Mid-South, like we talked about. We watched the Mississippi River at Memphis increase 30 feet in depth because of that flooding. And we're still trying to figure out the economic toll that that had on things. So yeah, you're going to throw the brakes on. I mean, Jim was just talking about, we're going to throw the brakes on planting. This is going to be, you know, good hydrologically. We're going to start to recover some drop, but it's too much too fast. So, I guess, Jesse, the bigger question to be asking is, all right, when this is done and we try to go back in the fields, who still has frost threat going forward? Mm-hmm. And do we have to worry about the cold air coming back? And so that's the next big question to think through.
Well, and I know that historically, you know, we have that frost threat. I mean, obviously, the farther north you go in the U.S., that frost threat lingers for at least a little ways into May, if I'm not mistaken. Right, Eric?
Yeah, you're right. You know, I was just talking with our guys here in Champaign, Illinois, and I said, hey, they're wanting to plant. I said, well, the wind is done. We're going to be waiting for at least another 10 days. And they said, well, what about a frost threat when we get into the month of April, or excuse me, in the month of May? And I said, well, where we live, 40 North, right here in Champaign, Illinois, we've only historically had in the last 40 years, 45 years, four frost events in early May. And I don't see it. I think it's going to be quite warm. But I was talking to a guy on the phone yesterday out in Nebraska. He's north of Omaha. And he's like, I'm aggressively planting now because it's good, but that crop's going to be up and it's going to be going by the time we get through all this rain. Do I have a frost threat in May? And I said, look, a quarter of your frost events in the last 45 years have happened in the first couple of weeks of May. So we can't get away from that historical risk. But I don't have a single forecast model that's trying to make it cold. They're all trying to bring in quite a bit of warmth. When the pattern stays warmer and wetter, we tend to do okay on seeing this. But you're right. The Dakotas, you know, northern half of Iowa, Minnesota, our last frost is still ahead of us in those areas. But south of that area, I think we're going to be seeing wide open temperature windows. What's closing the windows up is going to be the precip.
Well, and thinking about this moving forward, and I know you've been tracking a lot of this longer range data as we get into summer. There's been some new data updates as well here this week. And I mean, talk about, as we look forward to summer and thinking about some of the drought issues that we have and thinking about, okay, are we going to get that timely moisture we need for this crop? I mean, how are things looking in your perspective here mid-April, Eric?
Yeah, well, I mean, these rains are doing one thing. They're buying us time, right? Some of this is going to go in to fill the profile, and that's fantastic. But I still have no evidence none at all, to take off the table the risk of having summer drought issues. And mainly that's going to be in the Western Corn Belt. Now, why? Well, we still have, believe it or not, we still have deep down in our soil last fall's drought lingering, especially in the northern plains. We know that following a fall that's that dry, 6 in 10 of the times when we had a dry fall, we end up having a dry summer the next year. We have a fading La Nina. It's out, right? But we've got the remnants of that La Nina sucking the momentum out of the atmosphere as a worrisome thing come summer. So you need to be watching those Gulf of Alaska ocean temperatures, because if they start dropping off come June, that's a strong signal towards central U.S. drought. Now, the bigger picture is this. When we try to find years that look like this year in the past, years like 96 and 99 and 2006, 2008, 2011, 2012 is in the analog package, so it's 2017. And all of those years had a midsummer stagnant pattern that produced more ridging in the midsection of the country, which means we tended to take on more heat and more dry risk. Now, here's what's interesting, Jesse. Taking on dry risk in summer can still give us huge yields. It doesn't mean you know we go bone dry. It's just drier than average. But if you combine it with the heat, which we're concerned about, then all of a sudden we have this, you know, this thing that's sitting ahead of us that we're worried about, that we have limited evidence on now, but the evidence points toward that risk. And we just had a new long-range suite of models released this past 10-day time period. And the newest one just came out from Columbia University. It's called the IRI Multi-Model Probability Forecast System. That's nerd speak for, we're going to go look out 9 months. And what it did was in July, August, and September, tried to put down two epicenters of dryness in key northern hemisphere growing areas. One is on the eastern side of the Black Sea. So that's part of Russia and part of Ukraine. The other's in the western U.S. Corn Belt. So we continue to see these things in the models, plus the historical evidence tell us that despite all of the really wet weather in spring, we have not eliminated the risk of a problem coming in midsummer. So, Jesse, we will have plenty to talk about for the coming weeks and months as we keep this whole thing just stirring in the back of our minds.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought up some of that broader modeling for not just the U.S., but around the world as well. And Eric, we got about 2 minutes here. And something else that's been on the back of my mind that I think has also been on yours is, you know, with all the restructuring of government, could we see any potential concern if we lose certain, you know, NOAA websites, for instance, and things of that nature? Is that something you're keeping an eye on by chance, Eric?
Yeah, I'll be honest. It's something that I'm very concerned about. And just this morning, we did lose all of our regional climate centers. These are the centers that provide a tremendous amount of analysis and historical weather data. So I went this morning to do some frost risk analysis for the Midwest, because that's top of mind for growers right now. And unfortunately, because of the lack of funding that is now going through NOAA and the Department of Commerce, those websites had to be taken offline, which is very unfortunate. And I hope that some reason is seen that this is one of the most vital things that we have, is understanding our weather risk, not just to our economy and our ag economy, but just to our daily lives. And it's going to hurt. And I'm more upset than I'm leading on to about it right now, but it's something that we're going to have to continue to watch. And it's just a reminder, should more of these cuts happen, websites like the one I maintain, which goes out to you all for free, agweather.com, 95% of that website is driven by NOAA and the data sources that we've paid for with our tax money that I give back out to the community. That's why we have it structured that way. So it's quite concerning. And I'm going to have to watch it carefully in the coming weeks to see how much more is lost.
Well, it's something we'll track with you as well. And hopefully we're able to maintain some of this key data. And I know you mentioned your website, agweather.com. Folks can head there and get a lot of great information about the national weather outlook and their local location as well. Eric, got about 45 seconds. Any final thoughts with the weather that folks need to keep in mind here over the next several days?
Yeah, you know, the scenario I just painted for summer is going to have a lot of folks concerned. And I want to let you know something about it. And that is that the statistical probability right now of this occurring is 60%. And it's been that way for a couple of months. So I want to remind everybody that while we may have this discussion about summer being possibly hot and dry across key growing areas that a lot of people are listening to us from right now, there is still a 4 in 10 chance that the pattern does not evolve the way it seems. So what I'm trying to tell folks is stay on your toes. Listen to Jim. You just got off the phone with Jim. He's going to help understand how the market volatility may respond to these forecasts. But keep kind of a cool head when you start to think and worry about these things. And if you have questions, reach out. We'll get them answered.
ag-wx.com for more. Eric Snodgrass with Nutrient Ag Solutions, thanks for being with us here on the show today, my friend. Happy Easter to you and yours, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yep, same to you, Jesse.
AOA today brought to you by our friends at Cenex. Premium diesel, the right choice for your operation year-round. Learn more about Cenex premium diesel fuels by visiting Cenex.com. Up next, we'll hear from Ethan Lane with the National Cattlemen's Beef Association right here on AOA.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
As important as the pool of traits and genetics is to the farmer, seed supplier is just as important. Brunner Seed is locally grown under the same weather conditions as your farms. Brunner Seed is committed to providing a quality seed at a fair price with a variety of corn and soybean products to choose from, as well as alfalfa and pasture mixes. Brunner Seed has the genetics and traits best suited for your farm. To find a dealer near you, call Brunner Seed at 715-672-5887. Brunner Seed Incorporated, family-owned and operated, Highway 10, Durand.
Milk markets were higher with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnekins. At the Mercantile Exchange, May milk up 41 to 1832, June up 24 to 1743, July up 8 to 1790, August milk up 16 at 1828. Meanwhile, triple-digit gains in the live and feeder cattle markets. Hogs also mostly higher. A positive export inspections report for beef, 47% higher than the previous week, helping the markets. Also, boxed beef prices were higher as well. And also, we did see some higher cash trade, and that helping to support the markets. Hog complex also mostly higher due to the stronger pork cutout values this week, indicating high packer and consumer demand. April live cattle up 275 to 20982. April feeder cattle up 340 to 393.35. May hogs up 25 cents to 90.40. Chicago Board of Trade, corn and soybeans mostly lower on the day, while wheat markets were mostly higher. A lot of this was just positioning ahead of the three-day holiday weekend as markets are closed for the day on Friday. May corn up or down to, rather, to 482 and a quarter. New crop down three quarters to 466. May beans down two and a quarter to 1036 and a half. New crop down one and three quarters to 1032 and a half. May wheat in Chicago up one to 548 and three quarters.
Your Touchstone Energy Cooperative knows safety is the backbone of reliability. From the ongoing training of our line workers to classroom safety programs for our kids, our commitment to electrical safety has always been job one. So we can deliver reliable energy and peace of mind. That's why safety runs through everything we do.
Riverland Energy, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, your source for power and information.
Getting the kids to practice on time. Remembering if it's your day to bring snacks. Making it to the game with a clean jersey. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with Auto Owners, insurance doesn't have to be one of them. Auto Owners works with independent agents who answer when you call, so you can worry about more important things, like whether your kid is going to run toward first or third base. That's simple human sense.
Your Auto Owners agent serving the Durand area is Jerry Thompson Insurance, a division of Ansay and Associates.
Fighting blindness.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And we continue here on today's AOA, brought to you by Cenex. No matter what conditions you face, Cenex has the heavy-duty diesel engine oils to meet your needs. Visit Cenex.com today or swing by your nearest Cenex store location and chat with your local experts. They'll set you up with the right products for your equipment. Well, joining us now here on AOA, it's good to hear from him again. Let's have a conversation with Ethan Lane, Senior Vice President of Government Affairs at the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Ethan, how are you, sir? It's good to talk with you again.
Jesse, it's great to be with you. You know, we are thriving here in the nation's capital, and I, you know, smooth sailing as far as the eye can see, but it's been an interesting couple months, and we're looking forward to more moving forward in what has been the fastest moving presidency I can remember in a very long time.
Yeah, there is no shortage of topics that I know you guys are staying on top of, and the things that we're tracking here, and a lot for us to talk about today in this segment. I want to start, though. I actually want to go away from Capitol Hill for a minute and head down to the southern border and talk about some animal health issues that sounds like are still lingering, and I'm referring to New World screwworm. And I know that this has been an ongoing problem and a lot of concern here. Get us up to speed with the latest in regards to New World screwworm.
Well, you know, it felt like we were just getting over sort of the biggest thick part of high path AI, you know, avian influenza a few months ago, when this screwworm issue really sort of bubbled to the surface around Thanksgiving. If people will recall, We've had that pest controlled down in Panama for decades now, using sterile male screwworm flies that are manufactured 100 million a week in a facility down there. And it's used to build a containment barrier around those flies. They broke out of that. They've been moving up through Mexico. I believe they're in five states in Mexico now, something like 700 or 800 cases. And this is something where the only way you can beat them back is with these sterile male flies. I would love to say that every foreign government is as competent as ours at battling these things, but the bureaucracy in the Mexican system has continued to cause some challenges for us. We're clearly not getting a handle on it down there, I think, to our satisfaction. We know that the Secretary's office here in the U.S. Is paying close attention to this. We're working with Capitol Hill right now, asking for quite a bit of money to start to build our own defenses here in the United States. We do not want this back in the country again. It is deadly to cattle. It's deadly to other animals. It can be harmful to people. It is just not something to be messed around with. And we're at this sort of critical point where I think folks need to start really thinking about the fact that this is one we're going to need to pour some resources into, and fairly quickly, to make sure that we build that line of defense and keep this south of the border and hopefully headed back in a southern direction.
You know, we saw the halting of feeder cattle imports from Mexico earlier this year, late last year, because of this issue. And I know they've since been reinstated, but is that option on the table again here, Ethan? Are you hearing anything about that?
I think it's premature to talk about that, but I do think that it's important for people to think about the fact that if this doesn't get controlled, those options are going to have to come back to the forefront. Regulators won't have a choice. And again, it really, a lot of this comes down to our partners to the south and their responsiveness and engagement here. And quite frankly, taking this as seriously as they need to. Our government is doing that. I think Brooke Rollins deserves a tremendous amount of credit. This is an issue that she got up to speed on very early in her term. She has been engaged. Her team at APHIS has been awesome. Our folks are doing what they need to do. What they need is more resources to do it.
Well, thinking about issues like this, as we look at Mexico and other countries, I'll segue over to the trade and tariff conversation here, Ethan. And, you know, for the most part, it's felt like the relationship between the U.S. and Mexico has been friendlier than others with the whole tariffs, reciprocal tariffs and more. I know you were at the Rose Garden for the unveiling of this a few weeks ago. I mean, what is NCBA's stance as we look at this whole tariff conversation with the administration?
Well, I think our stance has been pretty consistently that, look, we're a free market organization. We export quite a bit of product. And like I've said elsewhere, you know, anyone who imports and exports products is going to be opposed to tariffs, right? Tariffs are a barrier, they're a burden, they inhibit free trade. But when those trading relationships aren't equitable, They are an important tool that the president feels very strongly about in order to get that trade relationship back into balance. We're not talking just about deficits here, but really those rules of trade, non-tariff barriers. North America, you know, has a system that's been, pretty effective for quite a while. And as has been referenced, our supply chain snake back and forth across the border, not necessarily just in the cattle industry, but in most industries that are operating in North America. And that makes that a very complex relationship here in the U.S. We're incredibly grateful to the president for leaning into those current commodities that are protected under USMCA while he focuses on these reciprocal tariffs for other partners. And that's where we think you can really make up some ground here. Australia is one we've been highlighting. The Australians have had free trade access to the U.S. for 20 years and have slow rolled the paperwork on granting us that same access to their market. Now, is that going to be a huge market for us? Probably not, but it could be a key market for some of our market participants to export product, a new place to reach consumers with some of the best beef in the world that we produce here in the U.S. And quite frankly, the Australians have played games for two decades on that. And if the president can use this tool to rectify that relationship, if he can use this tool to get a hold of what has been a pretty poor performance from the Brazilians and what we believe is improper access from Paraguay into the United States and finally respond to those calls we made for the Biden administration for several years to terminate those relationships and make them follow the same rules as everybody else. Hey, we're all on board for the president using this tool to accomplish some of those goals that have been longstanding objectives for the U.S. cattle industry.
Wondering about this too. Obviously, there's a lot of talk about when the U.S. cattle herd is going to rebuild and just the supply aspect here in the U.S. and, you know, exporting U.S. beef to other countries and do we have to import and things of that nature. I mean, is there any concern when it comes to if we get some of these trade imbalances rebalanced that, I mean, we have a pretty small cattle herd right now. I mean, is there any concern about supply at all, Ethan?
Well, I think it's important to remember what we import and what we export, right? The vast majority of what we import is lean trim. It's what we're short of here in the U.S. system. And what we export is largely what we don't eat, right? Tongues, offal, things like that that just haven't found a market with American consumers. They're not part of our diet. They're a huge part of the diet for countries like Japan, South Korea, others that we export to, China increasingly until recently. With the restrictions they've put in place. There's a lot of sort of, logic to the fact that the things go out of the country that we don't eat and the things that come in are things we don't have enough of to meet consumer demand. And I think those metrics, will continue to shift with, available cattle supply, that constricted supply at the Mexican border. The fact that, to your point, producers haven't really rebuilt yet in a way that, I know everybody's sort of anxiously awaiting, but like I think your last guest was talking about weather patterns, rain would be very helpful in some areas of the country. Some certainty in the marketplace would be very helpful. Cheaper money would be very helpful to making producers feel like, hey, high prices out there for those cattle, but it's still worth it for me to lean in and double up my herd and capture some of those gains. There are a lot of things out there that are still sort of weighing on producers' minds that make them feel like, the time's not quite right just yet for me to make that move, even with these huge prices that we're seeing people put up for their cattle right now.
Final 2.5 minutes here, Ethan, and I do want to ask you about the ag labor situation. And I know President Trump has floated some ideas about self-deportation and then being able to re-enter for farm workers, things of that nature. And I know this is an issue that you believe is going to be a front and center issue here fairly soon, right, Ethan?
It is. And look, our producers across the country are incredibly supportive of the president getting a handle on immigration, right? When the southern border is not secure, it is our members who feel the brunt of that first. Physically, they occupy that stretch of border. That's ranch country across the southern border, from my home state of Arizona all the way across to Texas. And so we really want to make sure we're clear here that we support the president in what he's trying to do. But there's got to be a recognition as well that America and a lot of the cattle industry, especially on the packing side, runs on labor, legal documented labor from a lot of these countries, and we've got to find a balance there. There are a few programs that are giving everybody pause at the moment. One of them is referred to as CHNV, Cuban, Haitian, Nicaraguan, and Venezuelan labor, and that is a work permit program, a parolee program for folks that have come into this country, have done so legally, have achieved refugee status and the ability to work over the course of a couple of years and have an annual review process. DHS terminated that program a few weeks ago. That termination is going to go into effect here in about a week. That's a program that really fills 10, 15, 20% of labor needs in a lot of these packing facilities, which, as we talk about a lot, throughput at packing plants is an ag labor issue. We have to make sure there's throughput in those plants. We're hopeful that the comments we've heard from the president is recognition that he's heard our concerns there. We know he's always thinking about what he can do for American farmers and ranchers. We appreciate the dialogue that he's had with us. So we're optimistic that he recognizes the challenge there and is working for a solution. And that's really going to be important to make sure we have that certainty, we have that throughput, and that we don't add another layer of difficulty here to what's already a fairly challenging landscape, even with that high demand and high price environment that we're enjoying.
Well, as we get more certainty on this ag labor issue, we'll have you back on to talk about that and any other issues of importance. We're up against the clock, though. Ethan Lane, National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Always good to hear from you, my friend. I wish you and yours a happy Easter, and we will talk again real soon.
Looking forward to it, Jesse.
AOA Today, brought to you by Cenex. No matter what conditions you face, Cenex has the heavy-duty diesel engine oils to meet your needs. Visit Cenex.com today. Up next, we'll talk with Kurt Blades from the Association of Equipment Manufacturers on AOA.
Military veterans and active duty service members, you could become a certified cyber warrior with just 12 weeks of training at...
Severe thunderstorm watch number 140, effective until 10 p.m. This watch includes the following counties in Wisconsin, Buffalo, Pepin, Pierce, and St. Croix. Remember, a severe thunderstorm watch means the conditions are favorable for the development of severe weather, including large hail and damaging winds in and close to the watch area. While severe weather may not be imminent, persons should remain alert for rapidly changing weather conditions and listen for later statements and possible warnings. Stay tuned to NOAA Weather Radio, commercial radio and television outlets, or internet sources for the latest severe weather information.
Prizes, weight breakdown of the placements, less than 600 pounds were 101.5. The 600 to 699 weight category placed was 109.6. The 7 to 799s is 102.1. And those heavier weights of 8 to 900 pound cattle were 106.5. So all in all, no major surprise, shouldn't have any major bearing on the futures when we open Monday. Of course, we're closed tomorrow.
Thanks so much. Jerry Stoll joining us today. He is with Country Futures, based out of Frankford, Kansas. This is the American Ag Network.
Blessing or a curse? Expected rain? Good. Water in your engines? Bad. What do I trust to fuel my equipment? Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster, a premium diesel fuel that keeps contaminants from clogging filters, ruining fuel injectors, and tanking fuel efficiency better than any formula that's come before. Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster, fueled by innovation, powered to perform.
Your car has the power to help save lives. An unwanted or unused car in almost any condition. Discover how donating your car can make a lasting impact in the fight against breast cancer. Can there be a world where breast cancer is a thing of the past? That world may be within reach, and your car donation can help us get there.
Simply call 1-800-778-4167. Your donation will support Susan G. Komen's vital work in research, care, community, and action. Your contribution fuels groundbreaking research, supports patients and their families, and raises awareness about prevention and early detection. Donating your unwanted or unused car is simple and fast. We take care of everything, including a free pickup and all the paperwork at your convenience. Call 1-800-778-4167. And the best part? Your donation qualifies for a tax deduction. Remember, your car donation has the power to transform lives, providing hope and healing to those affected by this devastating disease. So why wait? Call 1-800-778-4167. Help accelerate the cure for breast cancer. Your wheels, their hope.
When news happens in agriculture or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Kids today live in a world full of social pressure, bullying, and substance abuse. LEAD has a solution. LEAD connects law enforcement agencies with schools to deliver tested, proven, and effective anti-drugs and violence training to kids. Learn more about LEAD, Law Enforcement Against Drugs and Violence, and our work to create safer, healthier communities at leadrugs.org or on social media at WeAreLEAD. Sponsored by LEAD, Inc.
Welcome back as we continue here today on AOA. Today's show brought to you by Cenex. Ensure your machinery operates flawlessly even under the most challenging conditions with Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster Premium Diesel and Cenex Heavy Duty Diesel Engine Oils. Visit your nearest Cenex store location or head to Cenex.com. for more information. We're going to try and connect with Kurt Blades from the Association of Equipment Manufacturers here for our final segment of the show today as we're tracking the latest when it comes to tractor sales and more. We did see a little bit of a decline in U.S. sales in the month of March with Canadian sales growing. So hopefully we can get connected with Kurt for that conversation here in just a moment. In the meantime, a couple news notes that we are tracking. The Bayer actually is, let's take a look at this story. Bayer says it may stop producing glyphosate, the world's most popular weed killer, unless it can get court protection against the lawsuits blaming the herbicide for causing cancer. The Wall Street Journal says Bayer currently produces about 40% of the world's glyphosate needs, which farmers use to kill weeds that threaten their crops. Over the last 10 years, the herbicide has also caught Bayer up in a number of lawsuits. In early March, Bayer told farmers, suppliers, and retailers that it may have to stop selling Roundup, which would force U.S. farmers to rely on imported glyphosate from China. Bayer Chief Executive Bill Anderson told the Journal, quote, "We're pretty much reaching the end of our road. We're not talking years, but months instead," end quote. The USDA points out that more than 90% of soybeans, corn, and cotton crops planted in the U.S. are genetically modified to withstand the glyphosate-based weed killer. So again, Bayer may stop producing glyphosate, something that we'll have to keep our eyes on moving forward. Joining us now here on AOA, it's good to hear from Kurt Blades with the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. Kurt, thanks for being with us. Hope all is well.
All right, all is well. Thanks for having me on, Jesse.
Well, let's run through the latest numbers from the month of March. I mentioned this right at the open of the segment here that we saw U.S. sales decline a bit while Canadian sales grew. Give us the details on the U.S. sales for the month of March.
Well, you kind of stole the punchline there. I mean, there's not necessarily anything good to say. Across all categories for the month of March, equipment sales were down. Across all categories, as you know, as we've been talking, we've kind of been soft in some market and strong in others. But in March, we were down across the board. Kind of leading the way have been combines. Combines were down 37.5%, and that brings us down 56% for the year. So that's kind of some soft numbers out there. Four-wheel drive tractors are down 20%. 100-plus horsepower tractors are down 18.5%. So we're seeing kind of some general softness across the board. I think that's just a reflection of, the overall, I don't know if you call it pause or uncertainty in the market, but that's certainly reflected in the numbers.
I was going to say, it just has to make me think that some of the uncertainty and concern about the overall ag economy and where tariffs go and more has to be a weight here on these U.S. numbers, right, Kurt?
That is absolutely the case. In fact, we had a board meeting earlier this week in Washington, D.C. Nothing to talk about there. But that was the general feeling was, farmers just kind of sitting on the sidelines for a little bit. I think as to be expected, I mean, you need to make sure you enter into planting season with all the equipment that you need. But if you can, turn a wrench and make that machine last one more season, given times of uncertainty, that seems to be what's happening out there. I think the other thing that is showing up is it seems like the used market is kind of clearing out some of those dealer lots a little bit, which isn't a bad thing. I mean, we were seeing some of those inventories creeping up a little bit, sort of across the board, but specifically in combines. And so, it's obviously I want to sell as much new equipment as we possibly can, but I like to see that supply meeting the demand so we don't see too much inventory on the dealer lots because that creates some problems out there as well.
And thinking about the dealer lots, is that something your members with AEM, I mean, what concerns are you hearing from your membership when it comes to all this uncertainty and more that's out there in the market right now?
Well, I mean, like I say, uncertainty causes people to sit on their hands just a little bit. And that's what we're hearing sort of across the board from all of the members. And clearly they're hearing that from their local dealers as well is, I think we've seen this when you talk to the local dealers that they're not selling a lot of new equipment, but they are selling some used stuff here and there, and that sort of was keeping everybody moving throughout this season. As you know, when we've been talking the last year or so, some of this has been anticipated slowdown. I think a lot of those manufacturers were beginning to adjust their inventories in anticipation of a slowdown in 2025. I don't think we were anticipating the uncertainty that we have right now, but we certainly were anticipating some slowdown. So that's where, that's where the used market kind of picks up. And, I always remain optimistic that this too will pass and we will find the ag market, maybe by the end of this year or early next year, we'll start to see some of these numbers really come back, perhaps screaming. It would be even better.
Final minute here, Kurt, real quick. We should mention those Canadian numbers that I mentioned at the top. Saw an increase in March. Key takeaways from the numbers north of the border?
Well, as the two markets are incredibly linked. I think what's good about the Canadian numbers in March is they actually are above the five-year trend. I think there's a couple of things that could play into this. This could be a little bit of opportunistic buying on behalf of the Canadian farmers, perhaps trying to get in front of tariffs or anticipated tariffs, could be part of it. It's any number of issues, but we're certainly hearing from all of our members that they're happy with those Canadian numbers showing some positive strength. The two markets are so completely linked that I don't want to say that that's necessarily indicating a trend as much as it is just maybe some opportunities that Canadian farmers were taking advantage of on the timing that are unique to the market.
Senior Vice President at the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, Kurt Blades. Good to hear from you again, Kurt. Thanks for joining us. I wish you and yours a happy Easter ahead, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks much, Jesse. Thanks.
Kurt Blades with us here from AEM on AOA today. Brought to you by Cenex Premium Diesel and Lubricants. Visit Cenex.com or your nearest store location today for more information. With that, we are out of time on AOA. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
Hey guys, 13-year NFL veteran and Super Bowl champion Jason McCourty here, and I'm an innovation ambassador at FAIR, Food Allergy and Research Education. I would say the most challenging thing as a parent of a kid who has a food allergy is probably the ignorance that I myself had in the beginning. I didn't know what anaphylactic shock was. I didn't know the dangers, let alone the things that she needed to be able to have a normal life. When you go to drop your kid off, on every single time in the beginning, we'd have to go through everything she was allergic to. Preparation is everything. And me, for playing football for 13 years, it was all throughout the course of the week. It's getting ready for game day. When you're on the field, you're playing for your fans. At home, you're playing for your family. My playbook: read labels, keep it allergy friendly, and have an epinephrine nasal spray as a backup plan. Because when my family's safe from food allergens, that's the real victory. Visit foodallergy.org to learn more.
Teachers are dynamic leaders, shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they...
Are you looking for an easy way to get a daily detox? Pharmacist, best-selling author, and nutrition expert Sherry Torkos explains why Active Liver is the perfect solution.
The liver is an incredible organ. It works nonstop to process toxins and chemicals from our food and drinks, medications we take, and even environmental exposures. As a health expert, I'm often asked how to support the liver's natural detoxification process and offset the effects of fatty foods, sugar, and alcohol. I recommend Active Liver by New Nordic. This gentle plant-based supplement is an effective way to support your liver's vital functions as well as your energy and overall well-being.
With its powerful blend of turmeric, milk thistle, and globe artichoke extract, Active Liver is the perfect way to get an easy daily detox to keep you healthy and feeling your best. Active Liver is available in both a delicious gummy or tablet. You can find Active Liver in the vitamin aisle at your local CVS or online at Amazon or NewNordicUSA.com.
The entertainment you want, the information you need. Locally owned and operated, we are Real Country. 1430 AM stereo, WRDN, Durand, Plum City, Elkmount, and 107.3 FM. Translator W297CH, Durand. Real Country.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. At least one person.